The portion we are covering today is 3rd Canto, 24th chapter, text 5, through 3rd Canto, 25th chapter, text 25, which is the verse we just chanted, Satam Prasangam. So I'll just give a brief summary. Actually, this 25th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada spoke, and the devotees at Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, they created this book, Teachings of Lord Kapila, from lectures on this particular chapter. And although it's called Teachings of Lord Kapila, it's not the entire third canto pastimes or teachings of Lord Kapila, but it is based on this chapter 25, which we'll be starting today. It's a very wonderful book, and similar to the teachings of Queen Kunti, Prabhupada's lectures on this section were very wonderful, some of the most wonderful Bhagavatam classes given or available to us. But in the foreword here is a little summary of how the meeting, how this discussion between Kapila and his mother Devahuti took place. So we'll use this as our summary, and I'm only going to read a couple paragraphs to cover it. So up to the point of where you've read, you've was the birth discussed yet of Kapila? What did you discuss yesterday? What's that?
Huh?
Where
the women are less intelligent.
Oh, no. And the conclusion was? That everybody is a woman, right? Everybody is Prakriti. We're all less intelligent unless we are worshipping the Purusha. Right? That was the conclusion, I hope? Yes. Prabhupada has given that conclusion. When this discussion, this very discussion comes up, we're all Prakriti. We're all, and what is that? Enjoyed. So we say women are enjoyed by men, but we are also enjoyed by women. So we are Prakriti. So unless we are concentrating on the Purusha, then we are similarly less intelligent and trying to enjoy something that's not ours. So that should be our conclusion. So that was what was in terms of the storyline. What was discussed? Nine daughters were born. Right. So just after the birth of these seven daughters, then from their previous penances and austerities of asking the Supreme Lord to become their son, Devahuti or Kardama embodied Kapila Muni, the incarnation of the Lord, and transferred to Devahuti. And so at that point, Brahma came and the demigods came and offered prayers, similar to what Devaki experienced when she was holding Lord Krishna in her womb. So let's see, where will we start here? Both Kardama and Muni and Devahuti were aware of the divinity of their son. Indeed, even before Kapila's birth, Lord Brahma himself, the chief created person in the universe, had appeared before Devahuti and revealed to her that her son was to be an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Then it goes into, well, then what did Kardama do? We'll read this. According to the Vedic social system, a man with a grown-up son may accept the order of sannyas, thus renouncing all connections with his family and worldly life, and entrust his wife to the care of his son. Kardama Muni, of course, knew that his son was an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, yet to honor this Vedic system and emphasize its importance, he too eventually accepted sannyas, entrusting his wife Devahuti to the care of his divine son Kapila. Therefore, as Suta Goswami begins to answer Saunaka's request to hear further about Lord Kapila Dev, The sages have already been informed of how Kardama Muni departed for the forest, leaving Kapila Dev behind with Devahuti. So this brings up a real quick question. You know, here you are practicing austerities, a Muni, a devoted person to the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord himself appears as your son, and at that time you leave. Why would you do that, right? So in those purports that were just summarized here, Prabhupada stresses the importance of carrying on the Vedic principles and culture, and Kardama Muni, although he knew Kapila to be the Lord, he, in order to instruct others by the proper ways of living and acting, he showed that one still, no matter what, one should accept that sannyas and give up the material household life. After Kardama's departure, Devahuti, remembering the prophetic words of Lord Brahma, approaches her divine son and humbly expresses her desire for spiritual enlightenment. And so there's some verses there of her praying, oh, what am I to do now? You know, my husband has left me. I'm alone. What am I to do now? And so thus begins the teachings of Kapila Muni as you started yesterday. As you haven't started yesterday, but as we'll start today. So this second verse that we chanted today, Tatikshava Karunika, is also just a few verses before today's verse, 24. And so that's also something we'll touch on today. So let's... Yeah? Right. Well, although it doesn't specifically mention, it appears to me that Kapila appeared. He wasn't born like a baby, but he appeared. Is that your understanding? Yeah. Just like when Krishna first appeared to Devaki and Vasudev, he appeared in his full manifest form, Vishnu form. And so, but on the request of his parents, oh, please go to, so similarly, as he appeared in this incarnation, he appeared in his feature, fully grown, golden haired, already fully capable of taking care of his mother. Yes? What is your name? This doesn't have chapter 25 in it. Yeah, so we can go ahead and chant. You already know the verse, so why don't we just chant it line by line. Satam prasangam mama vidya bhavanti vidkarna rasayana kata atyashrashakabhagavarmani shadharatir bhakti anukramashiti. I guess to help us memorize, why don't we all just go around, each of us chanting it, right? Is that good? No? Okay. Well, you said a few dozen times. How many times should we keep going? Satam sangam mama sirya sambhido bhavanti hrikarna rasayana kata. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido bhavanti hrikarna rasayana kata. Anyone want to volunteer with the back and forth? Satam prasanga mama virya sambhido. Thank you. Bhavanti rikarana rasayana kataha. Tadyoshana dashva pavarga vartmani shadharatir bhakti anukramashyati. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido bhavanti hritkarana rasayana kata. Tadyoshana Dashvapavarga Vartmani Shadharatir Bhakti Ranukramashati. Anyone else? Satam of pure devotees. Prashangat through the association. Mama, my. Virya, wonderful activities. Samvidha, by discussion of. Bhavanti, become. Hrit, to the heart. Karna, to the ear. Rasa ayana, pleasing. Kataha, the stories. Tat, of that. Joshanat, by cultivation. Ashu, quickly. Apavarga, of liberation. Vartmani, on the path. Shadha, firm faith. Rati, attraction. Bhakti, devotion. Anukramishyati, will follow in order. Translation. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Let's repeat. In the association of pure devotees, of pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. Cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Generally, people are convinced of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Because they do not associate with devotees, they cannot understand that the Absolute Truth can be a person and have personal activities. This is a very difficult subject matter, and unless one has personal understanding of the Absolute Truth, there is no meaning to devotion. Service or devotion cannot be offered to anything impersonal. Service must be offered to a person. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. To understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of devotees, and by such association, when one contemplates and tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, the path to liberation is open, and he is freed. One who has firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed, and his attraction for association with the Lord and the devotees increases. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotees who make this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord, and then, being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. So this is considered one of these verses that are very important to learn, even from the very beginning in devotional service, because within it, it gives us the key to understanding devotional service. It's probably one of the reasons why you're having it on your memorization chart. it is such an important verse. And when we just look at this verse on its own, it's on its own, it stands. We see throughout Srila Prabhupada's teachings, he quotes and requotes this verse again and again throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and throughout his lectures. Again and again, if you look on the folio, you look Satam Prasangam, over and over and over. He's speaking on this. Also, Krishnadas Kaviraj, when he's writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's quoted this verse over and over again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So why is it so important? What is this? What is the key? What is the import to this wonderful verse? The main factor given by Prabhupada, and is somewhat a very astonishing purport, or very strong purport, that uses the word must and has to. These are some of the emphasis on this. Just like when we want to learn something, what do? We repeat it over and over again. We tell, you know, sometimes we have to say the same thing over and over again. Harirnama, 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 right? Remember, for emphasis, for strong import of what is happening, what is trying to be conveyed. It is in a very strong mood that a devotional service, and that's the goal, right? That is the goal of any person who is trying to understand God or understand religion. What is the goal? What is the ultimate? You know, there's different motives. Some motives are just to get material benefits. But for a pure motive, somebody who really wants to understand Krishna and devotional service, he must, as it says, as we hear in other places, you must accept the guru, right? Gurum eva abhigachet. You must do this. So here, you must associate. Actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Prabhupada quotes this verse, there's a slightly different translation. And it's nice to see the other translation too, and similar emphasis is there. So the first time he quotes it is in the beginning of Adi Lila. Krishnadas Kaviraj uses it as an explanation of approaching the spiritual master, and so the translation and throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this translation is used. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in a society of devotees, and it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens, and gradually one obtains firm faith that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. That's a nice alternate a translation of the same verse. So what are the key components in this verse? First, satam prasanga or sangha. What do we generally translate sangha as? Association. So and then satam is pure devotees. This also gives an implication of just purity of or absolute as well. So what types of sangha do we have available to us? Here in this verse, we're specifically pointing out association of devotees. What other sangha do we have that we attain Krishna consciousness from? Holy name. Yeah, when we associate with Krishna's name, we are associating with Krishna. And we gain strength from that. Books, well, specifically, Srimad Bhagavatam, any book, scripture, speaking directly on devotional service to Krishna, this is Satam Prasanga. It is also a great association to associate with. And all of these associations, you have to be very careful with. Not that they're taken lightly. As Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, somebody may pick up a Srimad Bhagavatam and read it, but without proper care and attention, which you learn from the devotees, then you'll think, oh, this is fictional. You know, how could, you know, this thing happen or that? How is the universe? I don't believe the universe is formed like this. I don't believe that such a thing could happen. So you need the right association to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. What else? What other sanghas? Prasadam, yes. Yeah, everything. Other sanghas? Kirtan is like the holy name, right? How about deity worship? Associating with the deity? You again, all these things must be carefully done. But by associating with the deity, and seeing the deity, and as you would advance, maybe taking care of the deity, offering things to the deity, it completely changes your consciousness. More? Anything else? Distributing, preaching Krishna consciousness. Yeah, Bhagavatam was mentioned. About just seeing pictures of Krishna. There's association there. We can view and see Krishna. It's similar to deity worship. Tulsi Devi. The association of Tulsi Devi, we see great saints in our lines. They just sit down with Tulsi and chant Haridas Thakur. This association she can give us with Krishna Bhakti. So all these different sanghas, we need to take care to involve ourselves in. Because if we don't, then what's the opposite? We're not stagnant. We can, if anybody heard the class on Monday by Narahari and Alachua, he's saying you can't be stagnant. You can say, yes, I won't associate with this, but if you're alone, then the mind becomes your association. So you need to go forward and associate with the devotees, associate with Krishna, associate with his deity form, with Tulsi, with the books. All these things are available to us. We need to keep that association strong. So particularly with this Satam Prasangam or with the devotees, what is the first thing that is the result? It becomes very pleasing. When we associate with devotees, it should be a wonderful thing. Should be, yes, this person can give me Krishna. This is what they just by associating with them, I won't hear material subject matter. I won't hear how this life is perfect and all its we won't hear that. Just like the advertising industry, their whole focus is to get you to think on their particular product. You know, so they'll throw so many things out there, and even if it's not immediate, if we're not, you know, what are they called, impulse shoppers that, you know, you immediately hear, you dial 800 and yeah, give me five of those. No. But their thought process and the way the advertising industry has evolved, it's just to sink something into your consciousness so that you'll think about it. So that when you do go to the store and you're looking at the varieties of, I don't know, ketchup, that you want that one because you've heard about it. Right? So similarly, with association with devotees, that they're, by their association, they're putting seeds into your head to remember Krishna. And so when we are faced with things, with troubles in our life, with distractions, we remember that association. We remember their words, and it becomes very pleasing to us. And by this, as we, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear specifically on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of devotees. It is purifying. Almost everything that is impure in our heart becomes destroyed by this association, by hearing and chanting with devotees. There's more emphasis on associating with devotees. When Lord Chaitanya is speaking with Ramananda Roy, there's a chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, where day after day they're meeting and they're discussing Krishna consciousness. And time and time again, Lord Chaitanya would ask a question, and Ramananda Roy a quick answer. And it was such a wonderful section. But this one verse he spoke, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful?" Yes. Well, that's not the exact quote, but you're right. Sri Ramananda replied, "Apart from the separation of a devotee of Krishna, I know of no other unbearable unhappiness." So, such a wonderful consciousness that, what we may think, oh, there's so much pain, there's suffering. What types of pain do we experience that we become so engulfed with? Oh, yes, I need to fix this pain. I need to fix this ailment. We're not saying to ignore these things, but we can bear those. We can actually get through it, for the most part. Stub our toe, break our arm, get a headache, have a migraine. These things are actually bearable. We can bear them. But the consciousness Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya are trying to teach us is that, yes, we can bear the material sufferings, but we can't bear being separated from the devotees, because that's too important to us. What is our focus? We don't want to be dragged down, as in Bhagavad Gita, it protects us. The Krishna consciousness protects us from the most dangerous type of fear. What is that danger? Forgetting Krishna and losing the opportunity in the human form of life to associate and serve Krishna. So that most unbearable type of fear, the most unbearable pain, would be to separate ourselves from that association which will give us the real life. In the purport to that verse, Prabhupada quotes two other verses. "A person who does not worship me, who is unduly attached to family, and who does not stick to devotional service must be considered a most unhappy person. Similarly, one who does not associate with Vaishnavas, or who does not render service to his superior, is also a most unhappy person." And that's from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And then he quotes, there's no reference there. He says Vedic literature. This is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. "Of all kinds of desirable things experienced in the life of a living entity, association with devotees of the Lord is the greatest. When we are separated from a devotee, even for a moment, we cannot enjoy happiness." It's that verse, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Sastri Hoi. Lava Matra. Sadhu Siddhi. Lava Matra. It's just a tiny moment of time. So when we separate, when we're not in that association, it becomes unbearable. Yeah, I would like some. And then this lecture Prabhupada gave in 1973 in August 17th. He is quoting this verse, Satam Prasangam, over and over, and he gives a really nice understanding as well. Because We think we're endeavoring. We say we're endeavoring for devotional service, but is it really an endeavor? I guess the endeavor is there because we're still attached to the material side of things. So therefore, it's an endeavor. But as we hear, it's very pleasing, right? It is very pleasing to the heart by associating with devotees. So, what is it that's holding us back, or what is it that makes it so hard? So Prabhupada is showing here that actually it's very easy, and it's a mentality or a consciousness we have to develop. We'll read it in Prabhupada's language. It's a little choppy sometimes, but it's nice. So Krishna's subject matter is so nice that simply you do not do anything. That's easy, right? Simply hear, that's all. You have got God-given ear. We have these senses. We have an ear. We can hear. So it's very easy, right? Sit down. Stane sita shutikatam tanu manobir. Shuti means this ear. This is called Shrotapanta, getting knowledge by hearing. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido. Satam prasangat. When there is actually satsanga. Satsanga means it's this talking of Krishna, hearing about Krishna. When there is no business. So it's not a business. It shouldn't be that we're going to pay to hear somebody to speak about Krishna. And here he's taking a jab at the professional reciters of Bhagavatam. Shouldn't be a business. Giving Krishna consciousness shouldn't be a business. We shouldn't take money for giving Krishna consciousness. Not like a rented reciter or a paid reciter who is earning money by reciting. No, no. Not to hear from him. Actually, he is a self-realized person who is working for the Lord. From Satam. Satam means devotees. Satam prasanga. Therefore, it is called satsang. Satsang means the association of devotees. Sat means devotees. Sat means God. Om Tat Sat. Or everything is asat. Asat means temporary. This material world is temporary. And sat means spiritual. So satsanga means spiritual association. The more you associate with sat, with devotees, then you become more liberated. You become liberated. We are in the material world. We are simply in association, bad association, dhu-sangha. So if we want to get rid of this bad association, we must associate with the devotees. So that's a nice addition by Prabhupada there. Keeping us safe. And it's very easy. What do? We come associate with devotees. We hear about Krishna. It shouldn't be such a difficult thing. So this verse stresses this. And Prabhupada's purport stresses even harder that we really need to strive for this, that find our Sangha, find that those persons who you enjoy being with in devotional service and associate with them. Just like we were mentioning all the different types of sanghas or the different types of associations within Krishna consciousness that give us inspiration. So in each of those, there are a group of devotees that are expert in those things. It's like Bhagavatam. If we used to say Bhagavatam, then there are really studious, advanced devotees who know Bhagavatam very well, and who can give us Bhagavatam very freely for deity worship. There's those devotees who are very expert in deity worship that just by being with them, you just become enlivened that, oh, wow, yeah. Or the cooks, by being with the cook who's cooking for the deities, it's very enlivening to be with them and to catch their the bhava, as Prabhupada says in here, the mood That's why he was saying we have to be very careful not to hear from the non-devotees, or not to hear it in a speculative way, but to hear it in the proper mood. People think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. So everything can be explained in the proper mood, the proper understanding. And we just have to find those persons. And we have them. We're here. Look at this. This Sangha is such a wonderful Sangha. Every day you're able to come together, discuss about Krishna. There's no material discussion going on in this Sangha. The discussion is all for the propagation of Krishna consciousness, for preaching here at the university. Are there any questions or comments? We can kind of open it up now. Yes?
The word Rasayana is also.
Rasayana, yes.
Thank you very much for class. That was very nice.
Oh, thank you.
I was interested in two words in this verse. One is Rasayana and the other is Apavarga.
Well, Rasayana, the word for word is saying, is pleasing. Right. And the Apavarga of liberation, what is it that you want to expand it on?
I believe that the word Rasayana is used in Ayurveda, and it refers to a type of medicine.
Mm.
So
okay.
I think that could also mean in this verse that this very pleasing discussion about Krishna is like a medicine.
Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami begins the 10th canon of Srimad Bhagavatam with a statement like that. Bhavosh? Yeah. So that is, yeah, it's the medicine for which we become cured from material or desire to hear material things. So yeah, similarly, when we're associating with devotees, it's like a medicine. We're trying to become freed from the disease of material attachments. So by associating with together, you know, sometimes, you know, temples or ashrams are considered, they're sometimes referred to like hospitals or coming out in a disease condition. This analogy is used over and over, that we're diseased, and this process of Krishna consciousness is the medicine. Hearing and chanting is the medicine for becoming freed from the material attachment. So, yeah, that implication or that understanding is also there. Not only is it pleasing, it gives joy, but it is also pleasing. It relieves us of material attachments. And that's very pleasing. And we become liberated when you become freed from those things. It's like we're associating with devotees to become freed from material attachments. And in that way, we're becoming freed, and we ourselves are becoming worthy to give association to others. So by associating with us, they also... And then another way to look at it, Prabhupada sometimes says, to catch the disease of bhakti, right? So we can become infected with bhakti by association. So we give up one disease to get another, and we want this disease, and we want it to fully, you know, contaminate us, so to speak. We want to be, and then it's like, yes, then infectious, yeah, infection, or that's a nice way to see it. Yes, Jitamriti.
You know, you get association with devotees, you hear, get knowledge, and then you gradually become free of, I guess, material desires, and your attraction develops, and then devotional service begins. So, mm-hmm. Real devotion and devotional service begins. So, in the stages before that, how do we look upon our devotional service? Is it devotional service or is it just something else?
It's there because we're being engaged by the spiritual master, and he accepts our maybe unworthy offerings, and he's certainly engaged in devotional service. But if we look at it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar of Devotion, Ardo, Shadha, Kata, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, these things, this progression of devotional service is there. The first thing is faith. We have to have some faith that that first of all that God exists, and that you know our there must be a means by which to attain God. So you have some faith, and then you approach the devotees, and you get their association, and they fan that little bit of faith, that spark, and they engage us in devotional service there. But yeah, it's a gradual thing. As we develop Shraddha, association with devotees, then what happens when we're engaged in service? Anartha Nivritti, the material things start leaving. And so there's, and again, Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar of Devotion, there are different ways of seeing devotional service. There is the engagement in devotional service on one platform of practice, but then, as expected, one will increase that practice to the point where it becomes spontaneous. And then, yes, then the real higher elevations of devotional service are there, where bhava and prema and pure love of God is established. But yeah, we can't expect that, yeah, I'm still attached to the material realm, that, you know, just... I will immediately be able to experience the bhava, but it is a gradual process. But it is still devotional service. The answer is it is devotional service because we are being engaged by the person who is established in prema and bhakti. By serving them, he or she in turn offers it to Krishna. That's my understanding. Is that sounds good? Okay. Yes?
I can't fully recall it, but Prabhupada likes to explain apavarga. Every syllable has a different meaning. I think there's five, and it describes material life.
Vartmani. I don't know them by heart. Do you
remember? Can you click
them
on the word? On the screen, if you click on the word, it goes to the links. It might have the definition there. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I believe it's in the second canto. There's a purport.
It's like you work.
Hard work, frothing at the mouth.
You foam at the mouth.
Yeah.
And then you're exhausted, and then you die or something.
Apavarga is
the opposite.
Is relief from that.
Different from the top from this topic, but it's like we read some days back that if we approach Jagayan Madhais of this world, then we can get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, and. So when we approach people to give them to Krishna conscious, or they might be offensive to the holy name or to the process of devotional service in their behavior. So we have an offense that we should not commit against holy name is try to instruct a faithless person on the chanting of the holy names.
Mm-hmm.
So if we see as Lord Nityananda approached Jagayan Madhai, they were also like offensive to the holy name as well to him. So then how do we give Krishna consciousness?
Well, it would be based on our purity. We're not Nityananda, nor are we Haridas, nor are we Srila Prabhupada, who very strongly would get right in your face, you know, and be able to do that. So, Prabhupada, when he is explaining verses like that, or he explains in Nectar of Instruction of who to approach and who not to approach, who to avoid. As Rupa Goswami says, the Madhyama Bhakti, he knows who to make friends with, who to associate with, who to avoid. And so like that, And Prabhupada always emphasized we should approach the innocent, those who are we're just innocent. I mean, and then if we're expert in something, like he would have his scientist disciples, yes, you go very strongly preach how Krishna is, you know, the source of your science and stuff like that. Or if you become an expert preacher in another field, preach very strongly. But it's not that we, each of us should feel that we have to go and attack people in the faith. We preach in a very favorable way, because that's one of the first keys of devotional service, is to accept things favorable for devotional service. So we should preach in a favorable way, always being a good representative of Srila Prabhupada, always appearing, as sometimes you would say, perfect lady, perfect gentleman, you know, should appear like that. But, you know, we shouldn't, if there's an argument, you know, then, you know, we can present the philosophy strongly, but, you know, we shouldn't think that, yeah, I'm like Nityananda, I'm going to go out and find the worst. But we do that also. I mean, we're free, we're open. Anybody who comes to us, we'll sit and talk with. We'll give them our sangha. We'll give them, and then the responsibility is there that we are representing properly, not artificially, that, yeah, I'll kick on their face with boot. You know, I wouldn't say that to somebody, but Prabhupada could say that to somebody. Or he would get very heavy with somebody. But we can't, because also you look at Prabhupada's preaching, he was elderly. He was already given respect because of his age. We can't think as like a 23-year-old, I'm just gonna go up some guy and just, because they have no respect for us in that way. So we have to very, in a favorable way, preach Krishna consciousness. But it doesn't mean that we slack in the principles, or slack in what we teach, or we water down what we're teaching. But we, you know, we can preach in a favorable way. You know, it's we can preach in the pleasing way as well. But again, the instructions are there. We don't take money for it. We don't become professional at it. We don't water it down as well. Is that okay? Yes, Prabhu, you want to add?
Also, Prabhupada says that's a part of preaching. A part of preaching is that because it's Kali Yuga and because people aren't interested in spiritual life, we're going to have to face that regularly. Prabhupada says that's the risk that the preacher takes. But he does it because he understands the purpose of the Lord. And the purpose of the Lord is that everyone get an opportunity to engage in devotional service. So that's part of preaching, is that you're going to find those adverse conditions or people who aren't interested. Most of the people that I preached to in the beginning, they were pretty kind of averse to it. But by a little determination and purity, you know, if we continue somehow or another, that will be successful.
Yeah, thank you. I was just reading bedtime stories to my kids. We were reading the Wives of the Brahmanas, and how Krishna Bala, the boys were sent to the Brahmanas, and they were rejected. And Prabhupada said, sometimes we go, sometimes the preacher goes, and sometimes he doesn't get the result, sometimes he doesn't get... But, you know, he said, well, you have to keep going, you have to keep preaching. And it helps us, you know, not that, oh, yeah, everybody listens to me, you know, I have no problems that everybody will listen to me, I'm so charismatic and this. No, it's a test, too, that will you continue to have this faith if nobody is taking it? You know, yes, we will. We'll continue ourselves. And Krishna will reward us by that purity. And again, that purity will shine through. And that's what attracts people to Krishna consciousness, is seeing the purity in the preacher. Not that, you know, we're so eloquent. And sometimes that goes a little way, eloquent speaking, but the purity, Prabhupada said, purity is the force. Purity is what really is the attractive feature. So by you know, just... And what is, he sometimes said, was it Prabodhananda Saraswati? Or he said, my friend, you're so wonderful. you're such a great scholar, you're so... And then the person, oh, yes I am, thank you very much. Then, oh, but just forget it all. Just hear Lord Chaitanya's hear Lord Chaitanya's message. So preach humbly, preach forcefully, and but don't be attached to results either. Yeah.
I was wondering,
Hare Krishna.
The realization that the greatest distress is to be in separation is in that consciousness, in that feeling. You know, sometimes my experience is that it's when we're battling with our minds in the stage that we are, that sometimes our mind actually deeply relishes to go away from the devotees and wants to drag us away. And so I'm wondering about what's the reality for us of attaining that kind of consciousness, or how we should think of that in our struggles.
Well, that feeling that I want to be separate from devotees so I can chant my rounds, or so I can...
You mean like that?
What's that?
You mean you want to get away and chant your rounds?
No. No, I mean...
Or is it like...
No, I mean... Want to go away and have... Just want to go away and have sense gratification of all kinds. Just want to do anything else but, you know?
Like, right. So I guess...
But not mentally.
And so where do we get that feeling that Ramananda Roy is saying that, you know... Yeah, to be without their association, that's the greatest pain. And I guess some of it will come from experience. When I first joined Krishna consciousness, there was deprogrammers in those days. And my parents had hired deprogrammers to kidnap me and take me away. And that fear was the greatest fear I think I've ever experienced. That, you know, here I am being dragged away from something that I know is not false or something, you know, small, but it's to have that fear, then it's like, yeah, you can remember that. So at some point, you know, right now, you know, you've joined Krishna consciousness, and sometimes it may feel that, yeah, this is too much. But when you get away and you actually feel the suffering again, Vyasadeva says that once experiencing Krishna consciousness, if you separate yourself from it, then you will always remember it. And you'll always think, oh, I want that again. So that's, you know, we may have to experience the separation to see what a wonderful thing we have. So if we become lax a little bit and think, yeah, the association with devotees is not as what it's cracked up to be. All I know is it's packed up in this ashram and, you know, they don't clean their socks or whatever. And so I just want to get out of here. But we have to see what we were getting. It's not that we may not have the best living situations or the best material situations just for living even, but you know, what is it we're getting and what is the purpose of our association is to hear about Krishna, and certainly we're getting that, and if we're not, then we should approach somebody and address that as well, even in a managerial way. Why am I not happy? So yeah. Oh yeah, let's go ahead. Sarva vichajal chachindiya teka jibe play visaya sangade dharma je javayati lova moya sadomiti take chita katina samsade krishna bodhadaya moy kadi bodhi jiva joy saprasad nadi lobai sena mitapa radha krishna gunagao tamilako chitanya nitai jaini manitai shida prabhupada kichai Bhagavad Prasadam ki jai. Lord Kapila Dev ki jai.
What happened when you got kidnapped?
Huh? Well, we it's a long story. Short version, we escaped and I moved to Puerto Rico and I became a head cook and huh? Well, Damodar Prabhu was there in Boston. He had a big stick, and we just ran really fast. out in the Boston Commons, and then also in the Sunday Feast. I had to. I dressed up in a sari. And Naranjana Swami, he posed as my husband. And we escaped because there were deprogrammers at the Sunday feast. So that was pretty fun. So Mother Seva gave it to me, and I don't remember the color. I think it was like greenish yellow, I think it was. Hare Krishna.